The Hus Confession. The commandant of Auschwitz from May 1940 to late 1943 was SS Colonel Rudolf Hus. During the IMT trial, he had signed some affidavits for the prosecution, the most noted being signed on April 5, 1946. In accord with a common IMT and NMT practice, he was then called by the Kaltenbrunner defense on April 15, 1946. The major content of his testimony was in his assenting, during cross-examination, to his affidavit of April 5, and also in certain points of supporting testimony. Hus is universally considered the star prosecution witness and, despite the origins of the Auschwitz hoax in the WRB report, the extermination mythologists essentially treat the Hus affidavit as the Auschwitz extermination story or, more precisely, the framework for the story. All pleaders of the Auschwitz extermination legend present a story that is the Hus affidavit, with only numerical variations, as supplemented by the IMT, NMT, and similar evidence. None of the principal extermination mythologists gives prominence to the WRB report, and only Reitlinger seems to perceive a problem of some sort of importance in connection with it. Thus, it is convenient to allow the Hus affidavit to act as framework for our analysis also. It is presented in full here, and then the individual points are reviewed, with due regard for the supplemental and additional evidence. The fateful duality will emerge as an undeniable feature. The contradictions, inconsistencies, wild implausibilities, and lies will appear. The analysis will reveal something of the psychological context of the trials. Due regard is also given to verifiable interpretation of sources, including instances where it is deemed better to reference Hilberg or Reitlinger rather than an original document, to which the reader is not likely to have convenient access. Quote, I, Rudolf Franz Ferdinand Hus, being first duly sworn, depose and say as follows. 1. I am 46 years old, and have been a member of the NSDAP since 1922, a member of the SS since 1934, a member of the Waffen-SS since 1939. I was a member from December 1, 1934 of the SS Guard Unit, the so-called Death's Head Formation, Totenkopfverband. 2. I have been constantly associated with the administration of concentration camps since 1934, serving at Dachau until 1938, then as adjutant in Sachsenhausen from 1938 to May 1, 1940, when I was appointed commandant of Auschwitz. I commanded Auschwitz until December 1, 1943, and estimate that at least 2,500,000 victims were executed and exterminated there by gassing and burning, and at least another 500,000 succumbed to starvation and disease, making a total debt of about 3 million. This figure represents about 70% or 80% of all persons sent to Auschwitz as prisoners, the remainder having been selected and used for slave labor in the concentration camp industries. Included among the executed and burnt were approximately 20,000 Russian prisoners of war, previously screened out of prisoner of war cages by the Gestapo, who were delivered at Auschwitz in Wehrmacht transports, operated by regular Wehrmacht officers and men. The remainder of the total number of victims included about 100,000 German Jews, and great numbers of citizens, mostly Jewish from Holland, France, Belgium, Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Greece, or other countries. We executed about 400,000 Hungarian Jews alone in the summer of 1944. 3. WVHA, Main Economic and Administrative Office, headed by Obergruppenführer Oswald Pohl, was responsible for all administrative matters such as billeting, feeding and medical care, in the concentration camps. Prior to establishment of the RSHA, Secret State Police Office, Gestapo, and the Reich Office of Criminal Police were responsible for arrests, commitments to concentration camps, punishments and executions therein. After organization of the RSHA, all of these functions were carried out as before, but pursuant to orders signed by Heydrich as chief of the RSHA. While Kaltenbrunner was chief of RSHA, orders for protective custody, commitments, punishment, and individual executions were signed by Kaltenbrunner or by Müller, chief of the Gestapo, as Kaltenbrunner's deputy. 4. Mass executions by gassing commenced during the summer 1941, and continued until fall 1944. I personally supervised executions at Auschwitz until 1 December 1943, and know by reason of my continued duties in the Inspectorate of Concentration Camps WVHA, that these mass executions continued as stated above. All mass executions by gassing took place under the direct order, supervision and responsibility of RSHA. I received all orders for carrying out these mass executions directly from RSHA. 5. On December 1, 1943, I became chief of OMP 1 and OMP Group D of the WVHA, and in that office was responsible for coordinating all matters arising between RSHA and concentration camps, under the administration of WVHA. I held this position until the end of the war. Pohl, as chief of WVHA, and Kaltenbrunner, as chief of RSHA, often conferred personally, and frequently communicated orally and in writing concerning concentration camps. On October 5, 1944, I brought a lengthy report regarding Mauthausen concentration camp to Kaltenbrunner at his office at RSHA, Berlin. Kaltenbrunner asked me to give him a short oral digest of this in complete detail. This report dealt with the assignment to labor of several hundred prisoners who had been condemned to death, so-called nameless prisoners. 6. The final solution of the Jewish question meant the complete extermination of all Jews in Europe. I was ordered to establish extermination facilities at Auschwitz in June 1941. At that time, there were already in the general government three other extermination camps, Belzec, Treblinka and Wolzec. These camps were under the Einsatzkommando of the Security Police and SD. I visited Treblinka to find out how they carried out their exterminations. The camp commandant at Treblinka told me that he had liquidated 80,000 in the course of one half year. He was principally concerned with liquidating all the Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto. He used monoxide gas, and I did not think that his methods were very efficient. So when I set up the extermination building at Auschwitz, I used Cyclone B, which was crystallized prussic acid, which we dropped into the death chamber from a small opening. It took from 3 to 15 minutes to kill the people in the death chamber, depending upon climatic conditions. We knew when the people were dead because their screaming stopped. We usually waited about one half hour before we opened the doors and removed the bodies. After the bodies were removed, our special commandos took off the rings, and extracted the gold from the teeth of the corpses. 7. Another improvement we made over Treblinka was that we built our gas chambers to accommodate 2,000 people at one time, whereas at Treblinka, their 10 gas chambers only accommodated 200 people each. The way we selected our victims was as follows: we had two SS doctors on duty at Auschwitz to examine the incoming transports of prisoners. The prisoners would be marched by one of the doctors, who would make spot decisions as they walked by. Those who were fit for work were sent into the camp. Others were sent immediately to the extermination plants. Children of tender years were invariably exterminated, since by reason of their youth they were unable to work. Still another improvement we made over Treblinka was that at Treblinka the victims almost always knew that they were to be exterminated, and at Auschwitz we endeavored to fool the victims into thinking that they were to go through a delousing process. Of course, frequently they realized our true intentions, and we sometimes had riots and difficulties due to that fact. Very frequently women would hide their children under their clothes, but of course when we found them, we would send the children in to be exterminated. We were required to carry out these exterminations in secrecy, but of course the foul and nauseating stench from the continuous burning of bodies permeated the entire area, and all of the people living in the surrounding communities knew that exterminations were going on at Auschwitz. 8. We received from time to time special prisoners from the local Gestapo office. The SS doctors killed such prisoners by injections of benzene. Doctors had orders to write ordinary death certificates, and could put down any reason at all for the cause of death. 9. From time to time, we conducted medical experiments on women inmates, including sterilization and experiments relating to cancer. Most of the people who died under these experiments had been already condemned to death by the Gestapo. 10. Rudolf Mildner was the chief of the Gestapo at Katowice, and as such was head of the political department at Auschwitz, which conducted third-degree methods of interrogation from approximately March 1941 until September 1943. As such, he frequently sent prisoners to Auschwitz for incarceration or execution. He visited persons accused of various crimes, such as escaping prisoners of war, etc., frequently met within Auschwitz, and Mildner often attended the trial of such persons, who usually were executed in Auschwitz following their sentence. I showed Mildner throughout the extermination plant at Auschwitz, and he was directly interested in it, since he had to send the Jews from his territory for execution at Auschwitz. I understand English as it is written above. The above statements are true. This declaration is made by me voluntarily and without compulsion. After reading over this statement, I have signed and executed the same at Nuremberg, Germany, on the 5th day of April 1946. Rudolf Huss. Unquote. By NSDAP is meant the Nazi Party, Nationalsozialistische Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, National Socialist German Workers' Party. Some points of information, which have not been included in the affidavit, although some might consider them relevant, are that Huss, as a nationalist brawler in the 20s, had committed a political killing, for which he served 5 years in prison, and that he started in the concentration camps at Dachau as a corporal in 1934. He may seem to have risen unusually quickly, because in 1945, during the final weeks of the war, he was a colonel, and was negotiating concentration camp matters with the Red Cross and representatives of neutral countries. Most probably, his low rank in 1934 was due to artificial limitations on the size of the SS, imposed for political reasons. His rapid advance was probably the result of the expansion of the SS after the SA Ruhm purge of June 1934, and the greater expansion which took place after the war began. We now analyze the significant points of the affidavit. The plan of Birkenau is shown in Figure 29 contained in the print and ebook editions of this book. It is based on information gathered at the Auschwitz trial of 1963-1965, but the WRB report presents a similar plan.